Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our learning on Shari. We did not have Shir last week, so we missed a week. I hope everyone is well and enjoyed an uplifting couple of weeks. Baruch Hashem, we have Shir tonight. Just the calendar schedule. We have Shir tonight, and then we have Shir next week, Be'ezrat Hashem, and then we break for Yom Tov. And so that means we will resume after Chag on the English calendar, April 19th. Okay, but there is still Shir next week, Be'ezrat Hashem. So tonight, and then next week, and then we are off to after Yom Tov. Be'ezrat Hashem, halavai b'yushalayim habnuya, shebizocha to resume. Okay, so we are learning as always the Zecher Nishmas Miriam Fund, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak Alah Hashalom, and Hashalom Merit Zuchus continuous Aliyah, as well as the Zechira the Tova, and the merit of the Divrei Torah that we will share this evening. And we continue to extend our gracious appreciation, Hakar Sotov, and thanks to the Front family for sponsoring the Shir L'Zecher Nishmas, their mother, Alaha Hashalom. So we are up to this idea of contemplation. We spent quite a long time on contemplation and eating. That's because the Mechaber, the author, spends a long time on contemplation during eating. We also spoke about contemplation when going to tefillah. That was the topic we did immediately before where we're up to, and it happened to correspond to the Yom Tov of Purim. So we learned a beautiful piece from Medrash Rabbah about the tefillos of Esther and Mordechai and the Tinoko Shel Beis Rabbanan, contemplation when going to tefillah. And now the Mechaber is up to contemplation when approaching Torah study. So really what you see from here is that every aspect of life needs contemplation. We need to be thoughtful, mindful, present people, whether it is in regard to eating, or in regard to tefillah, or in regard to Torah study. So that is where we are up to, contemplation when approaching Torah study. Here we go. During your hour of contemplation, so I also think that none of us take an hour to contemplate. Most of us sign into the Zoom at 8:29 and a half, if Shir starts at 8:30. But Lamaisa, let's say you had the time. And even if you don't have an hour, it should be some degree of intent and just like there's malachas machshavas, so it should be kavanas machshavas, should have a focused intent in anything that we do in our avodas Hashem. Even if we only have a minute to do it, it shouldn't be mindless. Not mindless eating, not mindless davening, certainly not, and not mindless Torah learning. During your hour of contemplation, you should also consider if you want to learn Torah. You should ask yourself, do I want to learn Torah or not? So just like, do I really want to eat or not? And just like, do I really want to pray or not? Do I really want to learn Torah or not? The answer to this too is not definite. Sometimes you do and sometimes you don't. And when you don't, why not? Which is what you should ask yourself. There might be various reasons why not to. Maybe you're too lazy, atzlus, to exert your mind and body, or you prefer to fulfill your desires elsewhere rather than learning Torah. In this way, you should clarify the reasons you do not want to learn. So even those who love Torah learning, sometimes it might happen to be that a person does not want to learn. It's so funny. It's really such hashgacha, because Torah's Avigdor from last week, Vayalka Pekudei, I received it actually last Wednesday. I did not have time to read it the entire week, Baruch Hashem. So we are busy, Baruch Hashem, with the family simcha. I got it last Wednesday. I didn't have time to look at it until today. So today, by my lunch break, I was reading Torah Sevigdor. And what is he speaking about? Not wasting time and being focused with Torah learning. So I thought, oh wow, this is really hashgacha, because where are we up to in the Sefer? What's the Shir I'm preparing for tonight? Shir I'm preparing for tonight is contemplation when going to Torah study and the importance of Torah study. And if a person does not want to learn Torah, they should ask themselves why not and try and identify the focus of why not. And obviously to push ourselves to, yes, and the author wrote the Sefer probably for men, and they have a mitzvah to be a koveya itim, which we are not commanded to learn Torah purely for the sake of Torah learning like they are, but we are commanded to learn Torah, to have to be connected to Ribbono Shel Olam, be connected to Yahadus, pass on Torah's Imecha, the Torah to our children, and live a life of Yahadus. If you don't learn the halachos and the inyanim relevant to your life, then how are you going to know what to do? You have to learn in order to know what to do. So Torah's Avigdor, our mamas just read it by lunch today. Greatness in our homes. And he's talking about this idea of contemplation during Torah learning, or contemplation to lead us to Torah learning. Now, when it comes to to making your home a home of Avodas Hashem, it was Vayakal Pekudei. So the double sedra last week was about building the Mishkan, a home for Hashem. When it comes to making your home a home of Avodas Hashem, we come to one subject, he says, which is perhaps even more important for the Jewish home than many others we might speak about. Now, in the Mishkan itself, which was constructed and erected finally in last week's parashios, Vayakal Pekudei, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Akamas HaMishkan, oh! It's Orla Rosh Chodesh Nisan, right now, as we speak. Yes, how cool. Okay, that's when the Mishkan was erected. And the and Rashi quotes the Medrash that this day took 10 crowns. So Rashi actually quotes it by Parsha Shmini, that the day of Rosh Chodesh Nisan took 10 crowns. Oh, that's so cool. Okay, the Mishkan was permanently erected. I mean, it was not permanent. It wasn't like the Beis HaMikdash. It was disassembled when they would travel. However, it was finally put up on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, which is Mamash this evening. Wow, very nice. Okay, so the most important, I shouldn't say most important, every part was important, but the epicenter, like the eye of the storm, the Havda, the epicenter of Kedusha, of the Mishkan, was the Aron Kodesh. In the Holy of Holies, the Kodesh Kedashim, the Holy Ark and the Holy of Holies, which housed the Luchos, the Shivrei Luchos, the Sefer Torah that Moshe wrote, and over the Aron Kodesh, between the two Kruvim, is where the Shekhinah Kaviyachos, if such a thing were possible, where the Divine Presence dwelled and rested. So the epicenter of the entire Mishkan was the Aron Kodesh, which the Zer Zahav around the top of the Aron Kodesh represents Keser Torah. Everything about the Aron Kodesh. A few weeks ago, I gave a full-length, one-hour full shiur on how every part of the Aron represents a different aspect of Torah. So Aron Kodesh represents Torah learning. That is the mainstay of the Mishkan. That is what gives the Mishkan its Kedusha. The whole Mishkan is called Mishkan Ha'edus, after the Luchos Ha'edus, which are in the Aron Ha'edus. Okay, so that's the epicenter, Torah. So in any home that a person builds for the Ribono Shel Olam, we learn, we build a Mikdash Ma'at, it must be centered around Inyanei Torah, matters revolving around Torah. So Rav Avigdor Miller says, the more limud Torah learning there is in the home, whether it's halacha or gemara or chumash or something else, quote, the more of a perfect home it becomes. The Chavetz Chaim considered this subject so important that he wrote a sefer just on the subject. And the sefer is called Torah's Habayis, which means the Torah of the study of the home. And so it's very important, this subject, that has to be studied. But first, says Rav Avigdor Miller, an introduction. You know, in the Torah, there's a requirement that on the doors of the Jewish home, I'd just like to make sure my core is working, Baruch Hashem, there must be a mezuzah. A Jewish homeowner is obligated, min ha-Torah, to put on a piece of parchment two parashos of the Torah and place it on his doorpost. And this too relates to Yetzias Mitzrayim, Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Pesach is very quickly on the horizon. They took the blood on the mashkuf and the shtei mezuzos. And that mezuzah, the two, the lintel and the two doorposts, and that's where they painted the blood of the Korban Pesach. And Hashem saw them rolling in their blood. I don't know if anybody saw that there was a bris this morning for the Peli, a new Peli baby. A friend of mine sent it to me. She follows me, Kaim Chai Yisrael, on WhatsApp status. And she sent it to me. The new baby's name is Yonasan Rafael Peli. It was just very, very moving. The two Peli boys were murdered Al Kiddush Hashem, Erev Shabbos, about a month, a little over a month ago at the bus stop in Ramah, 5 and 7 years old, and they had a brother born to them, and the bris was this morning, Yonasan, Hashem gives, Rafa'al, a healing Peli, B'damai Chai, B'damai Chai, so they painted the blood on the mashkuf and the shtei mezuzos, and Hashem passed over those houses. And from here we have this idea of the Ribono Shel Olam passing over houses and marking the doorpost with the sign that we are Am Hashem. So we have a requirement on the doorways in a Jewish home. There must be a mezuzah. A Jewish homeowner is obligated min haTorah to inscribe on a piece of parchment and place it on his doorpost. And it is a law that is fulfilled by our nation implicitly. Today, a kosher Jewish home, everybody has a mezuzah. Even many Jews who are not so observant want to have a mezuzah. There's no question. The requirement, we put up a mezuzah. Now, it's true you put up a mezuzah, and sometimes you forget all about it. So this really relates to what we're learning in the Sefer, which is about this idea of mindfulness. So I will admit that I don't think about give the mezuzah too much kavana every time I walk in and out of a room. Maybe you don't. And when I leave, yes, I put my finger and I always think in my head, I shouldn't say always. I tried to think in my head, when I'm leaving, when I'm coming, Baruch Hashem, I came home. I don't know if I walk into a regular room in the house, I can't say that I'm so mindful about the mezuzah that's sitting on the doorpost. Might be you are called kaval. I'm not. I just don't think when I walk through, wow, here's the mezuzah, and what am I supposed to be thinking? What should I be my chshava? So once you put up the mezuzah, you might forget all about it. You fulfilled your requirement. You've discharged your obligation. The Beis Din can't step in and chastise you or criticize you. But we're not talking about the minimum now. We're speaking about becoming great. So what is the purpose of the mezuzah? What's written in the mezuzah? What do we say? You should speak. What do we say in the Shema? You should speak about Torah mitzvos when you dwell in the house, when you go on the way. You should speak words of Torah when you sit in your house. It means you must study Torah in your home. That's what it means. You should study Torah in your house, exclamation mark. So we don't just have an inyan to go out to the base medrash and to go out to the yeshiva, but the home must also be a place that radiates Torah, just like the mikdash that we built for the Ribbono Shel Olam. Vasuli mikdash v'shachanti b'sochem. It was a base Mikdash. Base comes first. There's a bias. A holy house. How do you get to a holy house? It has to be a place that has Torah. It has to be a place centered around Limud Torah, not only in the street, not only Uvalach Techabaderach, also B'Shivtecha B'Veisecha. And it's in the first parasha and in the second parasha. In case you missed it the first time, you must speak the words of Torah in your home. Even if you study Torah in the yeshiva, says Rav Vigdorma, you got a kol, a Beis Medrash, synagogue, your home should be a place of Torah. And that's what we should think when we should see the mezuzah. This home is a home of Torah. And I specifically thought of this Torah Sevigdor that I read by lunch today in regard to our piece where we're up to in the Sefer, because what the Sefer has said is, let's say you don't want to learn Torah, so you should think to yourself, why don't I want to learn Torah? You should be mindful. And maybe Taki writes, you're just lazy, you don't want to exert your mind, you don't want to exert your body, you might prefer to fulfill your desire somewhere else rather than learning Torah. So here's a man, says Rav Avigdor Miller. He's walking from the dining room to the living room. He's going to sit down on the couch. I'll pick up a newspaper. He'll kick up his feet for half an hour and fill his head with nothing. You know what the purpose of the mezuzah on the living room doorway is? To foil his plans, to save him, to remind him, you must speak about Torah when you sit in your home. Your place, your home must be learning Torah. Avodas Hashem. Pick up a sefer. You don't know how. And today, really, I mean, everything is available on all levels today. So Avigdor Miller says, pick up a Mishle in English, study it, memorize the words. What about Sefer Ezra? You never read Sefer Ezra in your life? How could you do such a thing? A newspaper you read, but Ezra you won't read? You'll skip Ezra Nechemia for a newspaper? At least once you should read Ezra Nechemia. Okay, full disclosure. I'm not saying it's good. I'm not saying I get a badge of honor. No, bad. Chatasi, one day I'll get there. I hope. I have not learned through Ezra Nechemia. So Torah Sevigdor is telling to me too. Read it in English. Why not? What do you think? I'll get around it someday. Yes, as he says, when I'll be 199 years old. And in an old age home, he thinks he'll still be there. So that's when I'll get around to it. Reminded me of what Chazal say in Pirkei Avos said, and the Pirkei Al Tomer Kesha Efna Eshna Sha'am Lo Tifana. Do not say, when I have time, I will study, lest you never have time. Okay? So a person can say, when I have time, I will study, because that means that if you have, just do it. What are we learning? We're learning in Pirkei Avos. Amor ma'ava se herbe. No, Shema Salashem. Amor ma'ava se herbe. You don't have to speak so much. You just have to get around to doing it. So a person does not have to make all kinds of grandiose plans. You just have to make a time to learn. Al tomer, don't say. Because you're afnash. Now, you don't have to talk about when you're going to learn. Shamalot tifani, you're never going to have time. Just sit down and learn. So he says, that person thinks to himself, you know what I'm going to learn when I'm 199 years old in the old age home, because a person still thinks he'll be here then. That's when I'll get around to it. However, says Rav Avigdor Miller, of course, this is not the case. Everyone can be a Talmud Chacham. A person should never say, it's too late for me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, what's the matter with you? Just because you've been in Am Haaretz for 50 years, doesn't mean you have to remain in Am Haaretz. You can start listening to the mezuzah even if you're 60 years old. Start by learning Chumash. Take a translation. There's a linear translation, line by line. Learn two sedges of Chumash on your own. 20 minutes a day. After a while, you know, two sedges of Chumash. Okay, you're not a Gaon Olam, but still, it's a good beginning. Once you know that in Chumash, ask someone to examine you random. Skip around. And if you know those two sedges of Chumash, now start Pirkei Avos. Start studying Mishnah, Pirkei Avos, six prakim, also available with a linear translation. Translate six prakim of Pirkei Avos. You could read it perfectly. You could translate it, have some attest. You take a Mishnah without nekudos and read those six prakim without vowelization, without nekudos. So now you know some chumash, and now you know some Mishnah without nekudos. You're in the right direction. You're headed towards success. What I think is important is that he's showing us that when we want to implement a program of change in our Avodas Hashem, which we should all want to implement a program of change in our Avodas Hashem, the change doesn't have to be 180 degree turn from where we're holding. A person needs to be able to start and implement change slowly, but a person has to remember that when it comes to Torah learning, the Chavetz Chaim said, the Yetzer doesn't care how many mitzvahs you do as long as you don't learn Torah. And there's a very big Yetzer hard to distract a person from taking the time to connect with Hashem through the mitzvah. We were walking through the airport today. We were out of town for a couple of days for a simcha, and Baruch Hashem, we came back this morning safely, and I was walking through the airport. And last year, around this time, we traveled to Eretz Yisrael. Baruch Hashem, last year we were zocha to be in Eretz Yisrael for 2 weeks for Chag HaPesach. So I was thinking to myself, I mean, at the end of the day, this is not Eretz Yisrael. But I was thinking to myself, walking amongst the airport and the Umos Olam, I was thinking to myself that if there's anything that proves that there is a Ribbono Shel Olam, it's two things. One is that Klal Yisrael is still here, and two is Torah. Because anyone who learns Torah, and I'm not only talking about the words with the translation, but the sodos and the ramazim and the vartach and the drashos and the connections. I mean, it's literally not possible that there's anything else but a Ribbono Shel Olam. So Torah is really a person's ultimate. Yes, we have mitzvahs and we have to do them, but there's a reason that men have a mitzvah to learn Torah in and of itself, because this is our truest connection and our greatest connection, the epicenter of the Mishkan, the eye of the storm, kaviyach, in a very positive way, was the Aron Kodesh and the Kodesh Kedashim, and what was in there, the Luchos HaEdus. Therefore, it was called the Aron HaEdus. Therefore, the whole Mishkan is called the Mishkan HaEdus after the Torah. So a person should never think to themselves, I'm too old, I'm too uneducated, I don't have a background, there's no such thing. Once a person starts to learn Torah, he has a thirst for more. Hine yamim ba'im nu mashem alkim, v'yishlachti rav ba'arz, lo rav lalach, v'lo tzama l'mayim kim l'shmo es divrei Hashem. There'll be a hunger in the land, not for bread, and a thirst not for water, but rather to hear the words of Hashem. And anyone who learns Torah knows with absolute certainty that there is a Ribbono Shel Olam, because it's just not possible any other way. So now you know a little bit of Chumash, and now you know a little bit of Mishnayos from Pirkei Avos, and now you're headed in the right direction. You're headed towards success. Then take out a Gemara, take out an Eli Metzios. A little bit of explanation on the side. Eli Metzios, that's what Rebbe Gdermel often says, you're not a Gadol B'Torah yet, but you're learning Shas now. Eli Metzios, you're ready to learn everything. And slowly you see you have become a new person. How? Because you decide to learn a little bit of Chumash, and then you decide to learn a little bit of Mishnayos. And Pirkei Avos speaks to us, it's not so difficult, we can all understand that. Start with Pirkei Avos, and then you learn a little bit of Gemara, and all of a sudden you realize you're a new person. But not only do you change yourself, it's important enough to change yourself, but you change your home too. You know, you could preach all you want to the people in your home. Talk, 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 talk. No one wants to hear it. But the way to teach is really through example, only through example. And when we set an example of a person committed to making time for God, making time for Torah, making time for learning, that speaks louder than anything else you could say with words. Not only do you change yourself, says Rav Avigdor, that's important enough, but you change your home too. And now when the children come home from yeshiva, accustom them, train them, open a Gemara at home. The little children learn Chumash, let them say it out loud. The father of the home surely should set an example. When you make a Kadosh Baruch Hu's Torah the focus in your home, the wife changes, the children change, the entire home is transformed. It becomes a fortress. He says something so interesting and so beautiful. I never heard this Ma'amar Chazal. The Gemara says in Maseches Eruvin, Kol bayis shenishmaim bo divrei Torah balayla. Any home where words of Torah are heard at night. What does that mean? What Victor Mar says, it means all day he's trying to learn a living. And he comes home and he's tired, learning a living, and he's busy, and he's bills to pay, and he's responsibility, and he's carpool, extracurricular activities, and go to the grocery, pick me up this, pick me up that. By the time he comes home, he's too tired. So the Gemara says, call Bayesh and Ishmin Bodivator Balaila. He says, I should make time for learning. So the Gemara says, any home that Torah learning is heard at night, Shuv Eino Nechrav. Such a house will not be destroyed, because such a person, despite how busy he is during the day, still makes time for Torah learning. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to preserve a house like that. He has a personal interest, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in that house, so to speak. He's interested that this house should continue, and it's going to be protected. against the many vicissitudes which would otherwise come in and break up a house. So I'm not going to quote the whole contrast, but I thought that that section was particularly relevant because where we're up to is if a person doesn't want to learn, they should ask themselves, why don't they want to? Would I rather read the Wall Street Journal? Not that there's anything wrong with the other Wall Street Journal, like certain other newspapers, okay? No, but I have to say, if I have half an hour, what do I want to do in this time that I have allotted to me? Do I want to read this paper or that paper? Or do I want to sit down and learn, whether it's Chumash or Mishlei or Ezra Nechemia or Pirkei Avos or listen to Shir? What do I have time for? And we prioritize. And that's why Chazal say, Al Tomer L'Kusha Efna Eshna. Don't say, when I have time, I learn. We know it's a hard and fast rule that people make time for what's important. That's how we get things done. How do we get anything done? We get things done because we prioritize. If something's important to you, you're going to get it done. You're absolutely going to get it done. So the question is, where does Torah fall on the scale of what is important to me? There's a whole bunch of comments. So one second, please. So that's very important, Nancy, what you said. Don't worry about being perfect. One second. One second, it's in the kitchen. How's it going? Hey Nancy, what you said is very interesting. Just do it, even if it's only 15 minutes a day. Okay? And then Nancy said, don't worry about being perfect. So actually, I don't know if I'm going to get to tonight, but I hope to. We'll see. I scanned and prepared a couple of pages from this book of the Chofetz Chaim by Rabbi Amram Yashar, which I'm going to be quoting from. I'm going to screen share with you. But it's so funny because in this book, which I'm planning to quote from, if not tonight, then next week, the Chofetz Chaim says, ready? On page 79. Interesting, Nancy, listen, exactly what you just said. I'm just going to quote. Listen to this paragraph. I wasn't even going to quote this, but it relates exactly to what you said. To reach perfection in any particular matter is a goal that only a select few individuals can hope to achieve. Nancy says, and I know Nancy, you're speaking from personal experience, just start somewhere. Start with 15 minutes a day. Don't say I can't do it. 15 minutes a day. Don't worry about being perfect. Says the Chofetz Chaim. To reach perfection in any particular matter is a goal that only a select few individuals can hope to achieve. Only those with special gifts may actually hope to attain what is called perfection. Yet as a goal and aim in life, to strive and move towards perfection is a necessary ideal for every upright and serious person of integrity. So in other words, I'm never going to become the Gadol Dor. I'm never going to become Henny Machas. I'm never going to become Robertson Kanievsky. So I went and said then, someone sent me an email, said, don't put yourself down. I said, I'm not putting myself down. It's like a fact. I'm not going to be those people. I'm not putting myself down. But it doesn't mean you shouldn't be striving and working towards that ideal. So in other words, you should be on the path of trying to achieve perfection, even though you can't as a person necessarily reach that end goal. And of course, I know in Shemaim, they're not going to ask me why I wasn't Henny Machas. I know. We spoke about it in the summer. They're not going to say, Rabbi Zusha, why were you Moshe Rabbeinu? They're going to say, why were you Rabbi Zusha? I know. Okay? Save yourself the time of emailing me. My point is that, says the Chofetz Chaim, is a goal and aim in life. To strive and move towards perfection is a necessary ideal for every upright and serious person of integrity. You have to know what path you're on. You have to at least be striving towards the goal which says perfection. Someone told me something so beautiful. Someone told me something gewaldic. We just had Shavuot Shabbos, Baruch Hashem, we had Shabbos Shavuot Brachas. So my sounds very strange to say this, but Baruch Hashem, Ulo Hashem Kitov Kiyam Chasno. My son-in-law's good friend flew in from Eretz Yisrael to spend the wedding and Shabbos with us. His name is Moshe Wasserman. I didn't realize he was from Eretz Yisrael when he was leaving on Motzei Shabbos. He said it was so nice after Shalashos, Marav Havdala. I said, you know, it was so nice. We should come for Shabbos. He said, I live in Israel. I said, you live in Israel? He says, yeah, I'm going to the airport. My flight's in 4 hours. I said to Yosef, your friend came from Israel. I didn't even realize that after the fact. Anyway, came in from Eretz Yisrael, very, 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 very learned young man. And he is a great, great grandson of Aryeh Levine. Great grandson of Aryeh Levine, a tzaddik in Jerusalem, the father of the prisoners. Unbelievable tzaddik. Father of Rabbi Yashav. Anyway, so he's a great great grandson of Rabbi Levine. So anyway, Moshe Wasserman shared something so beautiful with me. He said his grandfather told him, in the name of his great grandfather, I forget the name, but he said, in the name of Rabbi Levine's son, who was his great grandfather, Moshe Wasserman's grandfather told him in the name of his father, his great grandfather. We say, Kol Yisrael Yeshem Chelek Olam Haba. All of Israel have a portion in the world to come. Everyone's going to Olam Haba. What does it mean everyone's going to Olam Haba? Some people work hard, some people don't work at all. And then there's a spectrum in between. So it relates to what Nancy said, I'm not trying to become perfect, but at least knowing your tafkin and becoming as perfect as you could be. So Moshe Wasserman shared with me, beautiful of art, his grandfather told him the name of his great-grandfather. Everyone has an assigned space in Olam Haba. But your tafkin in this world is to find your key to unlock your room in Olam Haba. Your whole tafkin in this world is to find your key. And when you find your key after 120, that's going to be the opening to Olam Haba. And it's very, very powerful. Everything I'm doing in this world has to be searching for my key. Everything has to help me come closer to the goal of unlocking my door. So the room is waiting. It's waiting for all of us. The question is, if you fulfill your tafkin in this world, then you'll be granted the key. On the other way. And therefore, says the Chafetz Chaim, a goal and aim in life is to strive towards perfection. That is a necessary ideal for every upright and serious person of integrity. The higher and nobler the goal, the more splendid and noble will be the acts it evokes. So set a very high goal for yourself. Now, maybe lo alacham lechaligmar. Maybe you're never going to reach the, you know, the peak of Mount Everest in spirituality. And I set a very high goal because the higher and nobler the goal, the more splendid and noble will be the acts it evokes. In general, to strive and attempt is worthwhile in and of itself. To strive and attempt is worthwhile in and of itself. Just to strive, just to attempt, just to try is worthwhile in and of itself. It reminds me of a verse from Shir Shirim. We're coming up to Chag HaPesach, the first of the Shalosh Regalim. So the Pesach says in Shir Shirim 7:2, I'm going to put it into the chat for you so you could see. This is from Rav Meilich Biederman. Okay, I just put it in the chat so you could see. It's from Shir Shirim Perek Zayin, Pesach Beis. The Pesach says, Mayafu pa'amayich b'na'alayim bas nadiv. How beautiful are your feet in your sandals, daughter of a princess. The daughter of a prince. How beautiful are your feet and your sandals, O daughter of a prince. Why am I telling you this? Because the Chafetz Chaim just said, to strive and attempt is worthwhile in and of itself. That didn't say to reach the goal. It didn't mean you crossed the finish line, but you're striving, you're trying, you're attempting, you're trying to get to the finish goal. That you want to find your key. Everything you're doing is mindful, because I know that key is going to unlock my portion in Olam Haba. To strive and attempt is worthwhile in and of itself. So, Mayafu Pamaich Banalaim Bas Nadiv, the Gemara says on that Pasuk, that's from Shir Shirim 7:2. So, the Gemara says on that Pasuk, that's referring to the Jews who were Olo L'Ragal. I told this over a bunch of years ago, maybe you remember, or maybe you read it from Rav Meilich herself. It's referring to the Jews who went up to be Olo L'Ragal. We're mamish 2 weeks from Chag HaPesach. So, we know, Shalosh Pamim Bashani Yurek Lezuchurchas Pnei Adon Hashem. It's brought down in Parshas Mishpatim. And also in, I believe, Perek Lamed Daled, end of Kitisa, perhaps, it talks about Erev Tov, and we have a mitzvah to be Olo L'Ragal. So the Gemara says, oh, this pasuk from Shir Shirim Perek Zayin Pasuk Beis, how beautiful are your sandals, how your feet in your sandals, O daughter of a prince, is talking about the Jews who would be Olo L'Ragal. They would leave their homes in Sfas, and Tveria, and Chevron, and I don't know, Chadera, and Tel Aviv, and Yafo, and Malay Dumim, and they will go up to be Olo L'Ragal. So Rav Meilich Biederman, the great Rav Meilich, I saw that there's a new Haggadah with commentary of Rav Meilich. So Rav Meilich Biederman says, what's the Gemara telling you? How beautiful are your feet in your sandals, O daughter of a prince? That means when they're walking up to be Olo L'Ragal. How beautiful are your feet in your sandals? And the Gemara says that's talking about the Jews who go to be Olo L'Ragal. Can't be talking about when they're in the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Because when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash, what are they? Not wearing anything on their feet. They take off their shoes. They take off their sandals. So if how beautiful are your shoes and your feet, O daughter of a prince, means it's when they're walking up. That's beautiful. It's beautiful when they get up to the Beis HaMikdash. It's beautiful on the 14th of Nisan when all the groups are going to offer their Korban Pesach. It's beautiful when the Kohen is up to his knees in blood because b'damai chai, and they sit down and they roast it, and on the Leil Tesvav they eat their Korban Pesach. That's beautiful. It's beautiful. Omdim tefufim mishtachavim revachim, when there's a miracle and everyone's squished when they're standing up, but there's plenty of room to bow down when you hear the Shema Mefarash. It's beautiful when they're on the Beis HaMikdash, bring their Bikurim on Shavuos. It's beautiful when they're walking on the road, when they're schlepping the donkey and the kid is crying and they stop to go to the mikvah on Derech Avot. That's beautiful. And they need to refill the snacks at the snack station. What do they do in the older days? I don't know. That's beautiful. You should say it's beautiful when they're in the Beis HaMikdash without their shoes. How beautiful are your feet in your shoes, O daughter of a prince? That's Olo Lerego. It's beautiful when everyone's in the Beis HaMikdash. So that's the pshat. So Melech Biderman says something gewaldic. When they're walking up to the Beis HaMikdash to be Olo Lerego, right? They have to leave their homes, their fields, their cows, their donkeys, their animals, their crops, whatever, their wealth. And the whole time they're walking, they're thinking, what a trip. It's so long. I ran out of water. There's nowhere to get snacks. It's so hot. Who's going to watch my wealth? Maybe I should go back to the fields. Who's going to water the gardens? They didn't have, I don't know, they didn't have automated irrigation that you could set the timer for 2 weeks. And who's going to control the heat? And who's going to, I don't know, water my flowers? Oh, maybe I should really go home. And every step they took, they had doubts. Maybe I should go home. It's such a long journey. I don't know. I left my wife. The kids are at home. Everyone's cranky. Maybe I shouldn't be doing this. And they said, no, I'm going to go. And they put another step forward. A few more steps and the HR is back. Maybe I should really go home. Maybe this isn't really such a good idea after all. Oh, the beginning of Avidimus Kuntras is about how, did anyone read it? Barakah B'kudeh, they stopped being Olo L'Regel, no, in the time of the Shoftim? Okay. So, maybe I should really go home. And the whole time they're walking, they have doubts if they're doing the right thing. But the Torah says I should go, I keep going. When they get to the Beis HaMikdash, there's no doubts anymore. Why not? When their shoes are off. Because the Shechina is so prevalent and apparent that there are no doubts. Now they don't say, oh, maybe I should go home. Now they say, of course I should be here. It's a good thing. I made the right decision. What is so beautiful, Tashem, when everything is so clear and you have no doubts in Emunah, so it's easy to believe when the Shechina is right in front of you. When here the Shema Mefarash Yotzim Pi HaKohen Gadol, B'Kedusha V'Tahara, so okay, it's very nice. So it's obvious that there's a God and Emunah is very clear. When you're walking the path of life and you're struggling and every step is a kasha, I don't know if I'm doing the right thing. Maybe I should go home. Maybe I really shouldn't do this. Maybe it's a bad decision. Maybe this, maybe that. Sata mefanenu ma'acharenu. And you keep going and you don't turn around despite all your doubts. That says Rav Meilich is Ma'ayafu Pa'amayach B'na'alayim Basnadiv. How beautiful the Rebbeinu Shalom says to Klal Yisrael are your shoes on your feet when you're going to be Olo Lerego. Because when you're filled with doubts and worries and uncertainties, maybe not you, other people, in your Avodah Hashem and on your path in life, and you still keep going, Rebbeinu Shalom says this is the most beautiful thing. When it's so obvious that there's a God, it's very nice, but it's so obvious. You don't have any questions. You're in the Beis HaMikdash. Who could ask questions? There's so many miracles that happen there all the time. There was never a fly in the slaughterhouse. How could there not be one fly in the slaughterhouse? How could there not be a bad smell? How could the smoke never extinguish? How could these things happen? So when you're there, and God's own parent, and there's no questions anymore. So it's very nice. But when you get so much schar, when you're on the path where you're supposed to be, and you keep walking, and you're striving towards perfection, even if you haven't gotten there yet. That's what this sentence of the Chofetz Chaim reminds me of. The higher and nobler the goal, the more splendid and noble will be the acts it evokes. In general, this is why I brought you with Meilech. To strive and attempt is worthwhile in and of itself. I'm going to start the walk. I don't know if I'm going to be able to finish it. I don't know if I'm going to get to the Beis HaMikdash, but I'm going to start the walk. Rav Nesson Tzvi Finkel, Zecher Tzadok Kol Shevracha, when he felt he couldn't walk to give shiur, when his Parkinson's was very severe, especially in the later years, I'm not going to stand up to get the biography, even though it's openly over there. I don't want to interrupt myself again, but he would say, I could just walk to the door. And he would just walk to the door. And then he would say, I could just walk, I don't know what it was, down the stairs. And I could just cross the road. And he would cross the road. And now I could just walk to the entrance of the Beis HaMikdash. And he would walk just to the entrance. And then he would say, I could just walk to the shtender. And he would walk up just to the shtender. When a person is striving and attempting, that is worthwhile in and of itself. As our sages teach, a man must always say, When will my deeds reach the level of my ancestors' deeds? Masai yagiu ma'asai the masai avosai. Matai yagiu ma'asai the masai avosai. When will my deeds reach my forefathers' deeds? Are they really going to reach my forefathers' deeds? My deeds? I'm going to be sarif karachan leir? Not exactly. But this means, says the Chavetz Chaim, that our striving, the goals we seek to attain, must always be greater than our actual attainment. Don't put yourself a low ceiling. Make a very high goal for yourself. And then work towards attaining that goal. The strivings must always be greater than our actual attainments. And here, Nancy, is the sentence that reminded me of this whole excerpt based on what you said. The fact that a human being is unable to become perfect does not mean he can neglect his duty to be good. If you have this book, it's a Chavetz Chaim by Rabbi M.M. Yashar, The Life and Works of Rabbi Yisrael Meir Kagan of Radin. It's page 79 on the bottom. The fact, because I'm quoting verbatim, the fact that a human being is unable to become perfect does not mean he can therefore neglect his duty to be good. So when it comes to Torah learning, so let's say for people on our level, so you want to read the newspaper, but you want to learn. You didn't learn that day. You want to read the newspaper, but you want to learn it. So I'm not a Rav. I'm not passing any halacha. But between doing one over the other, maybe the newspaper is going to run out. So maybe do start with 10 minutes of Torah learning. 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 5 minutes, something. Don't go automatically to the secular press before you've had some Torah learning in your life. And that's what the Gemara says. Call Bayish and Ishmael Baldivrei Torah Balayla Einu Nechav. Hashem understands that the whole day you're busy making up parnasa and putting one foot in front of the other and dealing with the vicissitudes and the ups and downs and the crazy hecticness of life. But it can't be that there's no room for Hashem in your life. There has to be some room for Hashem. So pick up, says Rav Avigdor Milon, an interlinear sefer. Pick up a tilm, pick up a chumash, learn something, bring Hashem into your life. And that's the kasha. Sometimes you do want to learn, says our mechaber, and sometimes you don't. And when you don't, you have to ask yourself, why don't I want to learn Torah? I tell you, mamish in the airport today, I was thinking, this is not Eretz Yisrael, that's for sure. But I was thinking that there are two things, if anyone needs a proof that there's Hashem. One is that Knesset Yisrael is still here. That just Ba'al Piteva, it's simply, literally, not like kids say literally, it's impossible that Al Piteva, there should still be a Jewish nation. How many times have they come to destroy us? In every single generation. How could there be a Klal Yisrael anymore? It's totally the Ma'al Minateva. It is totally beyond nature. That's one thing that proves that there's a Ribbono Shel Olam, and the other thing that proves Ribbono Shel Olam, I was thinking this morning, is that there's Torah. Torah proves that there's God, because if you learn Torah, it's so beyond anything that a human being could conceive of or compose. It's just unbelievable. All the connections, all the illusions, all the Ramazim, all the Gematrias, it's just beyond anything that we can possibly conceive of. Shimshon Pinchas says in his Sefer Sha'arim B'Tfilah, that the fact that a person could understand Torah is a divine gift. It's mamash and matana from Hashem. Torah is a piece of Hashem. So how can a mortal understand Torah? It doesn't make sense. How could you open up a chumash and understand the Rashi? Think about it. It's not teva. We have limited minds. We're here today and gone tomorrow. How could it be that a human being could understand Torah? Shimshon Pinchas says it's a gift from Hashem, that he gave us a matana, a present, a gift, that he allows us to understand a piece of himself, kaviyachal. How could mortality understand divinity and infinity? You can't. But Torah we can understand to some degree, each person on their own level. How? Because Hashem grants us the gift of being able to understand. It's just unbelievable. So sometimes ask yourself, do I want to learn Torah? Now it comes time for Shir, and maybe I don't want to learn tonight. Maybe I want to do something else. And of course, it's the Yitzhar. I'm not talking about you have an emergency. Okay, that's a Yotzei Min HaKlal. But a person says, do I want to learn Torah or not? The answer to this too is not definite. Sometimes you do and sometimes you don't. And I don't. Why don't I? There can be various reasons. You might be too lazy. You don't want to exert your mind at that moment. You don't want to work on your body. You know, it takes koach to learn, physically and spiritually. You might prefer to fulfill your desires elsewhere. Maybe the magazine has something more interesting than Torah for you at that moment, chas v'sham, but as illustrated purposes, rather than learning Torah. And this way you should clarify the reasons you do not want to learn. So his point is that you should be mindful. If you don't want to learn, you shouldn't just say, I don't want to learn. You should actually be mindful and consider and contemplate, why don't I want to learn? What does that say about me and my avodas Hashem if I don't want to learn? Okay? After that, you should consider why you do want to learn. There's learning a Vayikra on the plane, mostly going down to Florida. It's so hard for me. Whew. I said to my husband, Vayikra. It's Karbanos. So I could say I'm just not going to learn it because I don't understand most of it anyway. I don't learn Gemara. The Beis Hamikdash has been destroyed for 2,000 years. I'm never going to serve in the temple, even if it's rebuilt this very moment. I'm a woman. I'm not a Kohen. It's not my tafkid. I'm not there. It's really, if anyone learns the Sedra, Chumash with Rashi, it's very, very challenging for me. So I could just say, which by the way, my Yitzhar did say, maybe you should just not be learning this. And I learn it every year. So it's really not an option. I don't even know why he said that, because it's not happening. And I'm sure by now, Bli Ein Hara, because it shows you the power of the Yitzhar Hara. But it's really challenging. So you could just say, I'm not going to learn through it. I don't understand it anyway. So why bother? So maybe that's what Kazam could say, but a shir coming from a certain level, I don't understand it, so why should I learn? It's not correct. A person has to be barta ma b'shivtecha b'veisecha and set a higher goal. The Chavetz Chaim said your goals and aspirations should always be greater than what you've accomplished, because otherwise you're setting a ceiling for yourself. So now, be mindful when you don't want to learn, but you should also be mindful why you do want to learn. There may be various reasons why you do want to learn. Okay, one is, he doesn't give the reason that I think we want to learn, which is that there's nothing better than learning Torah, and there's nothing that brings you closer to Hashem. Obviously, mitzvahs, but lomar olami lishmar velaso sulakayim. Lomar olami, learn and teach, lishmar God, velaso sulakayim, to do and to uphold. So you have to learn in order to do. He gives different reasons why you might want to learn Torah. You might be afraid of being punished in Gehenna if you violate the laws you didn't study. Okay. A couple of times when we were out, I saw Yidden, people, whatever, doing certain things. So I said, it sounds worse than it is, whatever. I don't want to go in, I shouldn't have said the whole thing. Erase. I was trying very hard not to talk Lashon Hara. Two different times on the trip, I was with my husband, and he saw I was like struggling not. He said, what? I said, I'm trying not to say something, so please just change the subject. So yes, you have to think to yourself, if I violate these laws, what's going to happen? Why don't I want to say it? We might be afraid of being punished in Gehenna if you violate the laws. You didn't study, so you think I have to study so I know what to do, so I find my key. Because if I don't find my key, what's waiting for me up there? You might be afraid of violating the mitzvah to learn Torah. Now, that's for men who have a specific mitzvah to learn Torah lishma, and being punished for that. That's what the Gemara says in Shabbos Lamed Aleph Aleph. You know, we've quoted it many times. One of the six questions we're going to be asked is Kavata Yitim LaTorah. You might be embarrassed of being considered an ignoramus if you don't learn Torah. You might also seek honor for reaching a certain level of Torah scholarship. Each person is unique. I don't know. I think he leaves off the best reason for why we want to learn. It's chiyas. It's mamish chiyas. No matter how I feel when I start a shir, I feel a billion times different. If I'm, let's say, for whatever, tochu kabara, we did a whole thing on that in Pirkei Avos. No matter what a difficult day it is, or any negative emotion I might have, the satam of fanenu ma'acharenu, learning Torah takes a person to an entirely different realm of existence. So he doesn't list that reason, like someone direct messages me. We enjoy learning, right? And it does reveal God in your life. Rabbi Zavlov says, I've told you this before, that if a person learns Torah and he's not changed, it's not Torah. Maybe it was some kind of sheer lecture, or Bible talk, or Bible analysis. But if he learns Torah and he's not changed, he wasn't learning Torah. Because by definition, learning Torah must change a person. It will automatically change a person. I am sure you know that from your own lives. It is impossible to immerse yourself in Torah and not be changed. It's literally impossible. That's a koach of Torah. That's part of the matana that the Rebbe Shalom gave us. So he doesn't list. He says a lot of different reasons why you might want to learn. But he doesn't give the most precious reason for wanting to learn. Let's just have chiyas. Chachmas HaTorah, life, Simchas HaTorah, and connection to God, to be Mevakshei Hashem, to be a Davik B'Kodesh Baruch Hu. So you might be afraid of being punished in Gehenna if you violate the laws you didn't study. You might be afraid of violating the mitzvah to learn Torah. You might be embarrassed of being considered ignoramus. You might seek honor for reaching a certain level of Torah scholarship. Each person is unique. Continue searching until you discover the deepest reason, which is, I want to learn Torah because Hashem said I should learn Torah. And again, this is for men who have a mitzvah to learn Torah for the sake of learning Torah. Okay? Yes, of course, it's the reasons you want to learn that are not ideal. That's exactly what he's just being about, being mindful and being intellectually honest. Yes, of course. Just like he's asking you why you don't want to learn, and you should ask yourself and adjust that, you should also ask yourself why you want to learn. In other words, those cases would be Torah Shalom Lishma. I want to learn because I'm afraid of Gehenna. I want to learn because I want to get honor. I want to learn so I'm not embarrassed in front of my friends. They all got a share, so I don't want to be embarrassed, so I'll also got a share. Okay, so the Maisa will continue next time. But it's 100% true that just because a person cannot be perfect does not mean he should negate his responsibility to strive to be good. The struggle itself to attain the perfection is so precious to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Something we all have to remember in our path to acquire Torah, mitzvos, yahadus as part of our lives. We'll continue this very elevated topic next week, but as a Hashem, we will all make time for learning Torah. So this year should be a schus aliyah and zechira l'tova for Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak. Allah ha-shalom. I wish everybody again chodesh. Benisan nigalu. Halavai. Bimher b'yameinu. Benisan asidin legal. Thank you so much, everybody. Besoros tovas. Have a wonderful again chodesh. And Be'ezer Hashem, wonderful Shabbos. Thank you.